This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Let's get out to the River Islands guest line. It's that time. Coach Curry's here, presented by Great Clips. In sports, success is about team effort, and the same is true for your hair. Great Clips, it's going to be great. Also brought to you by Rafael Lumber and Building Supply, serving contractors, homeowners, and the community in Marin for over 50 years. Visit their showroom today. Hey, Coach, how you doing?
I'm good, thanks. How are you guys?
We're doing all right, man. Obviously, navigating through some new concern from all the Warrior fans today. You know.
Yeah, well, it's the NBA. You know, it's not like we were a great team in Phoenix and all of a sudden got bad. It's just you know, everybody can play, everybody can shoot. The modern NBA, man, the shooting variance is crazy. So. You just got to keep moving forward.
Coach, this is something that popped into my head when I watched the last couple of minutes last night. There were some sloppy turnovers from some pretty big names on your team. There's no doubting that. And my mind went to a couple of weeks ago when you guys had that loss against Denver where Jokic missed the game. And you had sort of said that a sign of that emotional fatigue for you in watching mainly Steph is when you see some of that kind of sloppy play. Do you transfer that to last night as well? Does that feel the same to you or different?
No, I don't see any of that at all. In fact, Steph was just incredible last night in that second half when we were down and made huge plays. I thought he looked good. His energy was good. Yes, we made some mistakes down the stretch, but that's part of the game. I made some mistakes. I could have done better myself. We all are in this together. And, you know, as much as you hate to lose that game, given its importance, you look at how San Antonio played, making 18 threes, seven of them in the fourth quarter alone. You have to give them credit. You can't just expect to win games. Now, we did not play well, there's no doubt, and we missed a lot of shots. But this is all part of an NBA season. You take the whole 82 and you add them up at the end, and I'm very confident that we're going to take care of business here the next couple of games.
Well, you sure are making it exciting through all 82, so thanks for that, question mark. And, you know, Steve, I'm normally big-time Captain Positive guy, at least I like to think I am.
What?
But you mentioned mistakes that you made. Is there anything you want to highlight? Because I have a couple of, if you're looking for suggestions.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
No, you know, we were in a tricky spot with both Quentin and Gary out. And so we made some lineup choices both in the second quarter and the fourth quarter, you know, just trying to find combinations that would fit and that would give us some spacing. And, you know, I probably could have tried some different things rotation wise. I probably could have called a couple of different plays, you know, after timeouts. These are the things as a coach, you know, when you lose a game, you watch the tape, you stay up at night, you know, you think about all the stuff you could have done differently. And It's all part of it. So, but if you do have suggestions, I'm all ears. What do you got for me?
Yeah, what do you got?
The one that kind of sticks out is Harrison Barnes 3, the game winning dagger. You had Steph guarding the ball. Any thought to maybe putting a more active on ball defender to make things a little bit more difficult on the inbounder?
You know, we sometimes will put a big on the inbounder, but with 3 seconds left, the inbounder himself is very dangerous because he can pass and get the hand back, you know, get a pass back. And so we decided to put Steph on the inbounder so that he wasn't involved in the switches, you know, off ball, in case there were screens, and you know, that were involved in the play. So, yeah, I mean, it's a good suggestion. And oftentimes we do put a big on the ball, but with that much time left, I try not to.
Do you guys have a suggestion box? Because we've got listeners who I think would have more, you know, more ideas.
Really? Huh?
Yeah.
It's interesting. I get a lot of emails with lots of suggestions. I'm always interested in those. So, yeah, please keep them coming. Why don't you guys two do a suggestion box and just pass them along?
If you ever go to a third row of coaches, myself and about 18 people on the YouTube would be happy to sit there.
I'm sure there's a lot more than that.
Yeah, and what is your email address, Coach? Go ahead. Steve Kerr joining us. By the way, before we move off of the GP2 and Quinton Post thing, anything on their availability for tomorrow night?
Not yet. We're hopeful. They're both on the trip, and we're hopeful that they will play. I thought Gary's absence was really big last night. We had a hard time staying in front of Castle, you know, when they went small and took Biombo out, it was basically five out. They had shooting everywhere, and we really struggled staying in front of Castle, and that really caused a lot of the breakdowns that led to a lot of the threes. And you know, that's one of the reasons Gary is so crucial to us is his on ball defense. You put him on the best ball handler, the point guard. And then at the other end, he's one of our best finishers, you know, as a roll man, as a dive man. He's kind of a point guard on defense and a power forward on offense, as you guys know. And so we missed him last night. We missed Quentin's, you know, space shooting with that second group that we start, or not, I shouldn't say second group, but top of the second, top of the fourth lineup that we've gotten very comfortable with. So we miss those guys, but it's all part of it. Everybody has injuries, and we needed to respond a little bit better, and we didn't do it, but now we got to respond again.
Coach, also in 90 minutes, there's a basketball game that you'll probably find interesting. Will you guys all kind of get together and watch this, or what's your plan?
No, we'll all be following it, but everyone's got, you know, different plans and friends in town, going to dinner, whatever it is. But, we will be paying close attention from our phones for sure.
Can you remember another year in the Western Conference that's been like this? Not only the standings, but, you know, your former colleague Mike Brown fired and Taylor Jenkins fired, and then now Michael Malone fired with 4 games left and them in a top 4 spot. What did you make of that firing and just the West in general this year?
Yeah, I mean, the firings this late in the season really seem unprecedented to me, but I don't know my full NBA history. I just don't remember during my time in the league anything like this happening. So those are both surprising given the status of both teams, you know, Denver and Memphis both being, you know, playoff teams. And the Mike Brown firing was to me rushed and not the move to make with a guy who's turned your program around. But, like, you know, that was the history of the NBA is every franchise gets to do what they want to do, right? That's how it works. And so lots of great coaches have been fired, and I'll probably be one of them at some point in my career too. So this is the business we're in, and we all know what we're signing up for. But it is, it does seem a little strange this late in the season.
Well, so many of them, Coach, they feel like, and I think this is the nature of the league now, that there's some sort of discord either between a coach and a front office, or a coach and their star player or players, or maybe a mixture of all of it. And so all of this going on certainly led me to want to ask you, like, how has your group at least seemingly, all stayed on the same page through a decade plus.
Well, we have great people, and we understand the value of stability and sticking together, and that we have a lot of healthy conversation, you know, behind the scenes, and plenty of arguments and all that stuff. But it's, we are always connected and aligned, and it's crucial. It's the only way it can work. And I have to say that, you know, one of the reasons it works is because of Steph Curry, too. When you have this kind of stability and leadership from your best player, it really filters through the entire organization. And so we're blessed. We've got a lot of great people, great organization, and we've stuck together through thick and thin. It's the only way you can do it.
It's been more thick than thin, and that's been awesome. But I wonder about the messaging, because now it's 11 years in, and Steph's been here for all of it, and Draymond too. And at some point, it's human nature to kind of tune somebody out when it's the same thing over and over. So how have you evolved, not only in your style, but in your messaging with guys who've been there as long as you have?
Well, we have a lot of fun. We really care about each other. I think most coaches who are able to stick around for a long time, I think of Greg Popovich, who I played for, Phil Jackson. I don't know. I think there's a comfort level with the fact that this is an emotional business, but you can't approach it with an emotional manner. It has to be, you have to be measured. You have to be able to deal with the losses like last night. You have to be able to tell the truth, but you also have to give guys the space they need to get through an 82-game season. And, I've got my flaws as a coach. There's plenty of stuff I can do better, but I do think that we have a great vibe in our building. And most of that is our players, but I think I've learned how to try to foster that vibe and create a good environment where everybody feels safe and productive and joyful. And I take a lot of pride in that.
Coach Kerr with us here, as he is every week, on Willard and Dibbs 95.7 The Game. You know, it's kind of funny, Steve, like the whole two timelines phrase that became such a lightning rod with Warrior basketball over the last few years. When you hear of the things that are going on around the Western Conference, it feels like that's a subject for a lot of teams. The balancing of veteran players and going for it now versus development of our young assets. And that's clearly been something that I'm sure you guys have talked about and argued about. What is your philosophy on that? Like, how have you been able to navigate that over the last 3-4 years?
Well, my philosophy, number one, is that the coach and the GM are two separate jobs, and they need to stay separate jobs. I just don't think it's possible for one guy to do both jobs. It's always been my philosophy that first Bob and now Mike, it's their job to put together the roster, and I respect the work that they do. And then it's up to me and our coaching staff to coach the guys we have. And, you know, we're for sure going to give our opinions on personnel matters. But ultimately, there's a good, healthy separation of church and state. And then from there, it's really important to work together and collaborate. And that's where it gets tricky. You know, sometimes, you know, and you're reading about it right now with different teams. You know, you get, management wants to play one guy, coach wants to play another. You have to work through that. And there's ways to do that and collaborate and stay on the same page, even if you have disagreements.
And it's tough, especially this time of year where you get into virtual must-win territory. And is it safe to say that you feel more comfortable leaning toward a veteran as opposed to a younger player if all things are created equally?
I wouldn't say that at all. I just think it's safe to say that I lean towards the best lineup combinations that I can find, regardless of the age of the players.
Coach, I know we touched on this a little bit earlier, I realize the position you guys are in. Nobody wants to sound like they're complaining this time of year, but sort of a two-pronged question. A, how do you see fatigue affecting your team because of that recent road trip? And the B part of the question is, how vital is some rest for you guys next week?
Well, that, I think the road trip that we came off of, followed by this, you know, the stretch, you know, Denver, Houston, at Phoenix, home last night on the back to back. There's no question that factors in. Now, when you say that, you go, okay, so what? 29 other teams have the exact same stuff. We all have our schedule issues during the season. Some stretches are better than others. You acknowledge it, but you don't use it as an excuse. So none of that matters. I mean, we are where we are. I would argue we're in a great spot, 22-7 since we got Jimmy. You know, if we made that trade, when we made that trade, can you imagine sitting here going, oh, yeah, and by the way, you're going to go 22-7. You're going to have top five offense, top defense, top five defense.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
And this is where you'll be with two games left in the season. You don't think we would have jumped?
Yeah.
That?
Yep.
So the entire narrative has shifted. The entire vibe has shifted since Jimmy's arrival. So you can't let, you know, one loss or a couple losses dampen that, when you just have to recognize the West is loaded. There's a bunch of great teams. There's a bunch of great organizations who have put together, you know, really good programs. And this is competition at its highest level, and we are in the mix. And I can't wait for tomorrow night and then Sunday and then whatever comes after that.
And hopefully whatever comes after that is not until the following Saturday or Sunday. Is there a sense of added pressure and a desire to avoid those play-in games just to give a team with an older core a little bit of additional rest after the gauntlet you've been through?
There is. Of course there is. I mean, we want the week off. We're also well aware that there's plenty of ways to get, you know, get through this stuff. And you don't even know how matchups are going to play into this. You know, who you can play, how it plays out. I know the Lakers made the conference finals 2 years ago through the play-in. You know, I mean, this is like, it's not like it's a death sentence to go to the play-in. But there's no doubt you'd rather avoid it just to not have to deal with the extra game or two, but also the you know, the stress of having to get through those games.
Steve Kerr with us. Coach, we of course have to have some fun with what turned into a viral moment the other night. Let's play it for our listeners. From TNT, this was not last night, but the game against the Suns, with you talking to Buddy Hield on the sideline there.
Buddy, that's Steph Curry. Buddy Hield. I want you guys to meet each other. Say hello to Steph. He's the greatest shooter in the history of the world. Wide open.
He came open late.
I love you, buddy. I love you.
All right, take us through introducing Buddy Hield to Steph Curry the other night.
I was just having fun. Buddy is the greatest guy of all time. This guy brings so much joy and laughter to our locker room every single day. And so he's a guy who can laugh at himself. He missed Steph. Steph was wide open in transition for a corner three. Buddy launched one. And during the next timeout, I just wanted to have some fun with him and just, you know, just remind him that when you're playing with Steph Curry, it's kind of a good idea to throw him the ball if he's open.
Yeah, and pretty funny that Buddy immediately, he got open late. Like, I was already into my thing. I just wonder about the general nature of the three. And last night you shot 48 threes as a team. Did you think, especially in that fourth quarter, that you got a little bit too three happy?
Well, as long as they're open, I love threes. And I think it's important for us to shoot them because, frankly, we're not a team that finishes really well inside. You know, we don't get a lot of easy buckets. Now Jimmy has changed some of that. He gets to the line so easily. And but you know what Jimmy does, I thought last night was a really interesting box score. Right, he took eight shots and scored 28 points because he got to the line 17 times. But what Jimmy's game is about is putting pressure on the defense, getting to the rim, and then either drawing a foul or kicking it out for a three. And so we had a lot of really good looks last night, and shots didn't go in. When they don't go in, we all tend to say, well, maybe we shot too many threes. But, look, that's who we are. We're in the top, you know, three or four teams in the league, maybe second, I think, right now. And 3-point attempts. We need to do that as a team. We need to shoot a lot of threes because it's the modern NBA, and you know, we other than Jimmy, we don't have a lot of guys who are, you know, scoring and drawing fouls in the paint.
Coach, no surprise to you. There's always a lot of discussion about Jonathan Kuminga after every game. What are you seeing right now as far as his continued, you know, getting comfortable with the new Jimmy Butler Warriors, and what kind of plans do you have for him in the postseason, assuming that you get there, of course?
Yeah, I mean, every game is different, and I think, you know, Jimmy's arrival took away a lot of Jonathan's minutes at the four, and you know, there's no doubt that you know, as soon as Jimmy arrived and we started winning, we leaned into lineup combinations that enhanced Jimmy because we were winning. And Jonathan was out for that whole stretch. We went like, you know, 17-3 or something. So we're going to keep doing what's been winning. But it's the lineup with Jimmy, Jonathan, and Draymond doesn't fit real well, frankly. It just doesn't. We need more spacing. We've found other lineups that have clicked, and this is just part of the deal, you know, being in the NBA, and you got to adapt to whatever, you know, whatever's happening with the team. Jonathan's done a great job of that. He's working hard. He's playing well when he's out there. But I'm just going with the lineup combinations that I think are going to give us the best chance to win. And, you know, there's going to be nights where he's absolutely part of that, like the Laker game. And then there's going to be nights where I go to Buddy or Moses or Gary Payton. It just changes every game based on what's happening, and I have to read that as a coach.
And thanks to you, Steve, I now look at combinations all the time. 2-man, 3-man, 4-man, 5-man, and as I look at your best combinations, they all have a guy named B. Podziemski as a part of it. What does Pods do to make all of these combinations that he's a part of so successful?
He's got incredible feel for the game, and he attacks the rim in a really unique way. You know, he runs through, we call it running through the catch, where, you know, somebody throws you the ball and you've got a slight angle on your defender, and you, instead of waiting and catching the ball and holding, you run right through the catch, put it on the floor and get into the paint and then move it again. So Brandon is constantly breaking down the defense for us. And that's one of the reasons he's in all the best lineup combinations, because that's ultimately what the game is about, is you want to break down the defense, you want to space the floor, and you want to generate shots. And he's a guy who does a lot of that.
Coach, I know you haven't seen the Clippers in a while, but you also haven't beaten them this year. Are they, for some reason, matchup-wise, a more difficult matchup for you guys than other teams?
Well, number one, they're a great team. You know, I think that's the first thing. I think they're one of the best teams in the league. I think they're a top five defense. And then, you know, now that Kawhi is healthy, they're loaded with talent between Harden and Kawhi, Norm Powell. Zubats, I think, is one of the best centers in the league. And Ty's a great coach. So they're just really good. And, you know, so we got to take care of business here in Portland tomorrow, and then give ourselves a chance going into Sunday. So we're excited about it.
And about Portland, in the opener, you smashed them, and then you played them again in March, and it was a high-scoring affair. But this Portland team continues to look better and better, and a team that's not waving the white flag. When you look at them tomorrow, what is the thing that maybe concerns you most about the Blazers?
Just how hard they've played and how good they've been defensively. You know, they've really gone through a transformation here the last couple of years under Chauncey, and with the lineup changes, roster changes, I should say, adding a lot of length. I think Denny Avia is fantastic, really impressive young guy. Kamara also, you know, good young player. They've added a lot of length and athleticism, Shaedon Sharpe as well. So it's a good team, and they've been excellent here the last couple of months.
I don't know, Coach. Maybe this is just what makes you so good to talk to, but you don't sound stressed at all. Everybody else sounds very stressed.
I'm not stressed. I'm excited. We have a really good team. We flipped up last night, but had a lot to do with the other team, and I've been through this a long time. The NBA, you know, Pop used to tell us, Hey guys, the other guys make millions of dollars a year too for a reason. They're pretty good at basketball, so you know it's not supposed to be easy, and that's how it works. So there's just nights where, you know, even against a team with a worse record, there's nights, and last night was one of them. And it's all about how you respond, and we've got to respond, and we've got to take care of all the details and the little things in order to, you know, offset some of the shooting variance that you can get.
Did you have any special words on the way out the door for either Barnes or Chris Paul last night?
No. I mean, I love both those guys. You know, that after the game, it's pretty emotional. It's not really a time where you end up visiting, but if I see him this summer, I'll mention the game. For
okay,
sure.
Yeah, perfect.
Maybe next time you see Harrison, just tell him to knock that off. I mean, where was that 9 years ago, HB, when we needed it? I mean, come on. What are we doing?
Coach, great to have you as always. Thank you so much. Best of luck the rest of the way. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Steve.
There it is. Steve Kerr.